Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com.
The Bible says that God never changes. Seasons will change, but He never changes. Hallelujah. Is it not a good thing to hear? And this morning, I just want to encourage the church and also encourage myself. Most of the time, after you've become born again and you've been in the church for a while, or you've just started the journey, your attention can move away from the main thing. That's why the scripture says that I will keep my eyes onto the hills. From where cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Amen. And sometimes certain situations or certain circumstances can let you take your eyes off God. But this morning we are going to encourage ourselves. And the title of my message this morning is God Pleaser. Amen. I want to be a God pleaser. I want to please God. But one thing I've come to know is that pleasing God is not something that you decide to do. Or sometimes, you see, it's not easy to walk about saying I'm handsome. You wait for people to tell you that, oh, you are handsome. It's not easy to walk about saying that I am humble. You wait for people to see that in you. Amen. And being a God pleaser is like that. You can't work towards it. You can't work at it. You live according to how God wants you to live, and then people will see it in you and say, ah, this lady, he's a God pleaser. Amen. And that's the encouragement this morning, that we keep on doing what God has assigned unto us. And as we do that, that trait of being a God pleaser will begin to show. People will see you and say, oh, this is a God pleaser. It's like the word Christian. The disciples did not call themselves Christian. It's other people observing them, then begin to say, ah, these guys, they've been with Christ. And that's how the word Christian came about. Now we fill forms and we write, what is your religion? Christian. Sometimes I'm tempted to write relationship with God. Because the word Christian has been, even now when you are filling forms, is Christian, Roman Catholic Christian, Church of, it's confusing. It's a relationship. Christianity is a relationship with God. And therefore, if you are in a relationship with God, there should be that continuous fellowship. Hallelujah. Continuous fellowship. If I take your mobile phones now and I check the recent calls, I can tell you those who you are in constant fellowship with. Because your recent calls will always have the people you call all the time. Amen. And God wants you to have that continuous relationship with Him, which means every morning, every day, every hour of the day, you are in continuous fellowship with Him. And that will make you a God pleaser. Some people will see you and begin to identify you as a God pleaser. Amen. And this morning, I'm just going to go through a few points. Because I've learned to preach a little organized over the time. Because otherwise I'll be all over the place. So I'm going to go through a few points. And that as we go through those points, you begin to realize that, oh, I do this. Oh, I can do this. And as you go through those points, you realize that, oh, actually, I'm a God pleaser. And you see, the moment you start thinking that I'm a God pleaser, you begin to understand why things happen the way they happen. Because a God pleaser, like Pastor David said, is a victorious person. As you please God, automatically things begin to fall in their rightful places. Amen. Point number one, God the Father will never leave you alone. He will always have continuous presence with you. All the time, God is with you. In hard times and in bad times. You call it hard times and bad times, but God is in control. Hallelujah. Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 28. And these are the words of Jesus himself, our Master and Lord Jesus. He said these words in John chapter 8, verse 29. He said, he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Amen. So as you go on the journey of your Christian walk and you make a decision that I will please God, I will do the things that please God, what you get back is God the Father also taking the decision not to never leave you alone. He will always be with you. Amen. He will always be with you. And when you read the full, a little further up, we don't have time for that. Jesus was explaining the Father, he is the light of the world, which means this earth needs some light. So his presence with you will give you illumination. Hallelujah. It will give you wisdom. It will be able to help you calm down when things are stormy around you. And so pleasing God is something that you desire to do. Hallelujah. You try your best and say, look, no matter the situation, when it comes to choices, I will choose to please God. Because what I get back is a Father who will never leave me alone. What I will get back is a God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, who will always be with me. Amen. Point number two, you cannot please God in the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. You cannot please God in the flesh. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Somebody will say, what is being in the flesh? We are all in the flesh. We all live in this body. But that is what the scripture is saying. And we can explain it with another scripture, which is in Galatians chapter 5. Or before we go there, let's stay with Romans chapter 8, verse 8, and let's look at the Amplified. The Amplified explains it this way. It says, and those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please God. So when you make a decision that my life, because I want to be victorious, I will rather stay away from sinful appetites and impulses, automatically you begin to please God. And Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, Galatians 5 16, gives us from 16 to 26, but let's start from 16. It gives us the series of things that when you do, you are walking in the spirit, which means you are pleasing God. And then the other things that you do, you'll be walking in the flesh. So let's start. from verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. The moment you take a decision that I will walk in the Spirit, I will walk by faith, I will make an effort to do what God expects of me, you begin to please God. Verse 16 says, 17, let's go. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Is that not what Christ came to do for us? He died on the cross so that we shall not be accused. He died on the cross so that he will put his righteousness on us. I don't feel condemned because of the blood. You see, the blood washes away all our sins. There's one beautiful scripture in the Bible that says that God even does not remember. Sometimes when I pray, I say, God, give me your kind of memory that you have about me. Because what Satan does is that he always comes to show me the things I've done wrong. He is the accuser of the brethren. But God says that I am merciful. When you come to me, when you come to me and you come with a repent heart, I will not remember. So sometimes we are held back by ourselves. If you have repented, God does not remember. The only person who remembers is Satan and sometimes you. If you decide that the God that I'm pleasing does not remember, why do you keep on carrying the burden? If I remember some of the sins I've committed in the past, I can't stand here. Can you imagine standing here and remembering all the bad things you've done in the past? All the fights you have been involved? All the lies? You can't preach. But God washes away those memories. And you have to walk in that grace. And that's what that scripture is saying in Galatians 5:17. Let's go back there. You are not under the law anymore. Amen? You are not under the law. Verse 18, let's go. But you are led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God himself leads you. Jesus said something beautiful about the Holy Spirit. He said, I am not leaving you as orphans. When I learned that scripture, I realized that a Christian who is not led by the Holy Spirit is living a life which is similar as a child who does not have anybody to take care of. So Jesus made it clear that I'm leaving this earth, but I'm not leaving you as somebody without a guide. But the Holy Spirit will guide you. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, automatically you become a God pleaser. Amen? Because one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is that he will convict you. When you are doing something, he's gentle, but he will prompt you. He will try and move you away. He's like a shepherd. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen? And one thing about shepherds is that they always leave the 100 righteous and come for the one that is going away. If you look at a good shepherd, as the sheep are all grazing, and then the one stubborn one is going, he's seen another grass on the other side, he's moving. You see that the shepherd will sit on his quad, what is that thing called? Quad track or quad bike. And then sometimes they use the dogs, isn't it? They'll send the dog, they'll make a particular whistle, and then the dog will go there and bring that stray sheep. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. So sometimes When the Holy Ghost comes for you, don't hold back. You see, the prodigal son, he took the decision that I'm going back. And when I go back, this is what I'm going to say. And when I get there, this is what I'm going to tell my daddy. Daddy, I've sinned against you. I want to come back, not as your son, but as your servant. And the daddy said, no. Since you left, every day I come and stand by the door, waiting for you to come back. And that's how our God is always doing, always waiting for us to come back, even when we have strayed away. Don't be holding back and say, oh, I can't go back to God. I am a specialist in running back to God because it's the safest. Amen. I always run back to God. I always run back to God. Always run back. Never hold back and say, just imagine the prodigal son. I said, no. I won't go back. Even my big brother, after that big brother, I don't want to see him. If I go back, he will say this, he will do this. And he did it. The big brother will not even come for the party. Say, huh? You've taken all the money away. You've wasted it. But you see, every good father wants the best for the son. If you look at the story about the prodigal son, the father wouldn't have given him his portion of inheritance if he had not given the father a very good business case. I'm sure he gave a very good business case, but there is something in the scripture that most of us miss. The Bible says that there arose a mighty famine, which the young boy did not put in his business case. Because there are certain things we call in life uncontrollables. That is what happened to him. And sometimes when it happens to you like that, you might have a good intention, but you fall off on the way. That is not the time to stay in your situation. This is the time to run back to God. Be a specialist of running back to God, because in doing that, you will please God. Amen. Because if you hold back and stay in your situation, what you are saying is that God's grace is not enough for me. The blood cannot save me. The blood cannot heal me. The healing power of God cannot do or solve my situation. No. Run back to God. Be a God pleaser. Be a God pleaser. Let's go back to Galatians 5, 18. We're in 17. Let's go on. But if you are led by the Spirit, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. 20. Adultery, sorcery, hatred. One of the things that surprised me as somebody who grew up in Africa, when I was moving to Europe, I thought I would not see sorcery in Europe. But God was good. He brought me to a town called Paisley. And I realized the amount of palm readers in my town. But we prayed them all out. I don't think any of them have business in Paisley anymore. They are all closed. Yeah, we closed them down. Oh, yeah. If you hear that any of them is still working, tell me. We close them down. Amen. Sorcery. People go to these palm readers and all that. How can another person tell you about tomorrow? Even the weather forecast, they are not doing a good job. Weather forecast, it will rain. Then you see the rain is somewhere else in Edinburgh. They are trying. But don't depend on sorcery. Amen. Hatred. You see, when you see hatred bubbling up in you, say, no. I'm a God pleaser. I don't hate. That's right. Yeah. Contentions. Jealousies. Outbursts of wrath. Selfishness. Ambition. Hey. They are all there. Let's go to 21. Verse 21. Galatians 5:21. We are going all the way to 26. Tell your neighbor, I'm a God pleaser. These things are not for me. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. I like the way the Bible says and the like, which means that the Bible knew that Facebook and other things will come. You see, people hide behind social media and do all kinds of things. They make all kinds of comments. And it's affecting people. But that is not your portion. A God pleaser does not do these things. Amen. A God pleaser does not do these things. It says, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is an inheritance. That is why when you try to work for it, it doesn't work. You can't work for the kingdom of God. You can't do any works to be in the kingdom of God. It's by grace. It just comes unto you by lifting up your hands and say, God, I come to you. I repent. I'm a sinner. Take me just as I am. And he begins to work on you. Let's go to verse 22. Glory be to God. But the fruit of the Spirit, when the Holy Ghost leads you, when he guides you, the first thing, can you realize that it didn't say the fruits? There's no S there, which means it's just one fruit. You see how when you split up a tangerine, it comes with different pieces. The fruit of the Spirit, one fruit, but it's loaded with all these things. So you can't have love and not have joy. You can't have peace and not have long suffering. You can't have kindness and not have goodness. You can't have faithfulness and not have joy. It's one. The moment the Holy Ghost leads you, all these things begin to bubble in your spirit. You see that you have patience. You can stand people. You can accommodate people. You don't jump off the pavement when you see somebody you don't want to see. Or you don't speed up your steps the moment you see a particular person. You have long suffering. You can accommodate. Just because you've allowed yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 23. Are you being blessed? Yes. Gentleness. Gentleness is not how you dress, but it's a fruit, part of the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. And look at it again. It says, against this, there is no law. Nobody, the moment the Holy Ghost begins to lead you, you become a God pleaser because the law, you see, the law is made up of man's thinking and man's way of dealing with situations. Every law that we have in this land is because man wants to control the way things are done. 20 plenty, you can't go more than 20 here because there's a school. Amen? Because there's a sharp curve here, they've put in a speed camera here. I always say that the traffic laws, is to save you. I've never seen a road where they've written slow on the road. That if you drive fast on it, it will be good for you. The moment you see slow on the road, it means that if you go fast, you go off the road. You see? So the law is supposed to protect you. But sometimes the law makes it difficult for you to come by grace. That's what God has made it. Come by grace and everything that you do, because you've come in by grace, you will fulfill the law. By exhibiting these things that the Holy Ghost will put in you, automatically, because I'm gentle, I don't break the law. Because I live by love, I don't break the law. Because I'm long-suffering, I don't break the law. Do you understand? That's how it is. Satan will prefer that you go through the law to come through to God. But God is wiser than our enemy. He says, I will give my people grace. And I will let the Holy Ghost lead them. And they will automatically, by following the Holy Spirit as a shepherd, guiding them, showing them what to do, they automatically realize that, oh, even the law has become lower. I am higher. I am seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. So the law becomes lower. You can easily fulfill the law because you are led by the Spirit. Let's go to 24. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. When you die with Christ, when you become born again, what happens is that you die with Christ. That's why when we do the baptism, we put you in the water. You die with Christ and you resurrect with Christ. Amen. And all those things that hold you back die with you. Amen. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So once you take the decision that Holy Ghost, wherever you go, I will go. Where you lead me, I will follow. You begin to drop everything that holds you back. And by the time you realize, you are a God pleaser. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I see a God pleaser seated by me. Because the Holy Ghost is going to lead us. Amen. Verse 26. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. God wants you to be a God pleaser. Hallelujah. Point number three. Pleasing God makes you a servant of Christ. When you begin to, when you take that decision that I will please God, you begin to exhibit the traits of a servant of Christ. Galatians 1, verse 10. And this is Apostle Paul says, for do I persuade men? Or God. You see, when you decide to become a God pleaser, the challenge is not that, can I be a God pleaser or not? But the challenge is, people will want you to please them. So then you are torn between, should I please my friends? Should I please people? Should I be a people pleaser or a God pleaser? But God says, stay with me. Stay with me. Or do I seek to please men? For if still I please men, I will not be a bond servant of Christ. I want to encourage you. Don't stay on the fence. Decide that I will please God. Amen. I will stay on the side of God. Point number four. Pleasing God will make you abound more and more. There's so much benefit for pleasing God than to pleasing man. When you please man, man will change. Man forgets, but God never forgets. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. You attain great perfection in living this life. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. When you please God, you begin to do more than you can. The scripture says that we are able to do more But that ability to do more comes when you please God. Let's look at the Amplified of this same scripture. It explains it like attaining greater perfection in living this life. Finally, believers. I like the Amplified. It says, finally, believers. It's coming home. We ask and admonish you in the Lord Jesus that you follow the instructions that you receive from us as about how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually are doing, and that you excel even more and more, pursuing a life of purpose and living in a way that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. A God pleaser is a man or a woman of gratitude. He wakes up in the morning and says, God, I thank you. I thank you for the gift of life. I thank you that I'm alive. I thank you that I have breath in my lungs. And you begin to do well in life. Amen. Point number 6. To please God is to disentangle from the affairs of this life. That's a difficult one, isn't it? The affairs of this life. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4. God has saved us. We are born again. We are in his kingdom, but we are in this world. We still go to Asda, Sainsbury's, Waitrose, Lidl, which is the other one? Aldi. We still go. We still shop. We take our kids to school. And school runs are crazy. When you are parking, another parent will just cut in and then cut off. And you have to do that Monday to Friday. These are the affairs of this life. But what the Bible is trying to say is that don't make that so important. Make God important. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we are engulfed with the affairs of this life. It says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. Amen. To please God, you need to disentangle yourself from the affairs of this life, especially in this age of social media. If you allow what is on the media to be important to you, you are entangling yourself. Entangling is like, one time I was in the case life and they did they taught me something. They rubbed the kids with the tissue paper. And that is entangling. And the kids couldn't do much. That's just tissue paper, not even ropes. Tissue paper. All around. And they couldn't move. And it opened my eyes and said, the things that we entangled ourselves with, they are sometimes very light and flimsy. Somebody makes a comment about your photo on Facebook, and it blasts off your whole day. As you are walking, every mirror attracts you. Every glass, you are checking. I used to be told when I was a young kid that you have big ears. And it used to bother me. Now I like it. Because they are nice. Amen. Because I keep telling myself, I have nice ears. Amen. Don't allow, you know, somebody says something about you. Just check, what is God saying about me? You see, God told Jesus that he is pleased with God, with Jesus, even before he did all the miracles. Do you know that God is pleased with you the moment you get born again? The moment you get born again, God is pleased with you. He wants you to begin to walk in that. You see, our life ahead of us till we go to heaven, God has already completed it. But if you stray away from it, then the Holy Ghost has to always guide you. Come back. This is where you are supposed to be. You are a child of God. Stay in this lane. Stay in this lane. Keep on moving. Don't give up. Don't give up. And that is what I want to encourage you this morning. Don't give up. Amen. Amen. Last but one point and we'll finish. To please God is to master the art of not talking against God. Sometimes you'll be tempted to talk back to God. Titus chapter 2 verse 9. Have a servant heart. A servant doesn't talk back. Amen. Even in our workplaces, we don't talk back to our bosses. We talk in our head. Right. You say things in your head, but to open your mouth and you know that this man, he or this lady, he controls my pay slip. If I say something, my mortgage, hey, no. I'll say it in my head. Titus chapter 2, verse 9. I exhort you, bond servants, to be obedient to their own masters, to be well pleasing in all things, not answering back. So, to please God, when you read the scriptures and it says, forgive, do not let the sun set on your anger. Don't talk back to God and say, God, you don't know this person. The things that he's done to me. You see, when you compare what somebody has done to you and what God has forgiven you, you realize that, oh, it's nothing. It makes it easy. I always take my situations to the cross. When I'm challenged, I go to the cross and I realize that what Christ did for me on the cross is so great that I can't hold anything against anybody. Is putting things in perspective. Otherwise, you hold people in your heart and you can't please God. Release. No matter what anybody has done against you, it can be forgiven. Because Christ was able to forgive us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do you know that Christ did not die for Christians? He died for the world. The world. Jesus said it himself, that the person who is well does not need a physician. He came for the world. It's good that we are all in church, but the heartbeat of Christ is those out there. He still loves them, and his love is unconditional. Amen. Say, tell your neighbor, we don't talk back to God. We pray to God. And the last point, and then we'll finish. The last point, then we'll finish for this point. Have you been blessed?
Amen.
It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I know most of us have heard this in the past. But you can't please God if you are walking by what you see. You must have the mindset of the way God operates. God operates by faith. Hallelujah. When he was creating this earth, the Bible says, and the earth was without form and void. And God said, amen. So you walking by faith, you must face some situations that has no form and void. You don't know how next year will be. It's a situation of no shape and void. But God taught us something. And he did it himself. What did he do? When he was creating, when a situation was without shape, void, he spoke. What did he speak? He spoke the word. And then he created. There was no light. He spoke, let there be light, and there was light. So in our situation, walking by faith means that we have to speak the things that we want. If there's no peace at home, speak peace into that house. If there's Sickness in the family, speak healing into the family. Amen. I pray for people in authority. Why? Because the Bible says, if you pray for those in authority, you have peace. I thought by building a long wall around my house and hiring a security would give me peace. No. The Bible says that pray for those in authority and you will have peace. Hebrews 11:6 says that, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must what? First believe. So you even believe for the things that you are looking for before they happen. You believe that he is, and he is what? The rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not those who sometimes seek him. Diligently. So there's the requirement of diligence in there. Faith is now the substance of things hoped for. Amen? And evidence of things not seen. When you are operating in faith, most of the times you don't know how it will turn out. But you keep on believing. Amen? I hope you have been blessed and you've been encouraged. Hallelujah. Let's bow down our head for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word that has come unto us. Father, we thank you that through the work that Christ did on the cross, you have positioned us to please you. You created us for your pleasure. Father, some of us may have strayed. We ask for forgiveness right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We know you are merciful. And we come to you just as we are. May your grace abound in our lives. And as we draw close to you, draw close unto us. Begin to allow your Holy Ghost, the Spirit that created this earth, may it begin to be our shepherd. Guide us, O Lord. Spirit of the living God, start fresh anew with us and begin to guide us. Begin to guide us. Wherever we are having challenges, give us the upper hand to overcome. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.